M Live's Emily Lawler. Emily, good morning.
Hey, good to be with you.
It's great to have you back on WPHM. We check in from you quite often here on the morning show because you are kind of our capital insider, if you will, covering all things state politics for mlive.com. That's where you can read some of her work. Before we talk state politics a little bit, Emily, I had the privilege of bumping into you a few months ago. Was it maybe? Yeah, about 2 months ago now. Just happened to be at a local neighborhood establishment in the Lansing area, and I was very surprised to find you and your family dining at a safe social distance outdoors, along with me and some of my friends. And it was great to see you over there, Emily. And you told me a story about how you biked across the state of Michigan. I want to hear more about that before we talk politics. How was that?
You know, maybe the weirdest thing I do on a regular basis is just take off on my bike and see how it goes. But, you know, biking's really been a safe, socially distanced activity for me this whole quarantine period. And biking across the state was my first attempt at a vacation this year. And it was great, honestly, just, you know, staying far away from people. I love biking, so, you know, put me on a road and I'm happy.
You started on the west side of the state and actually ended here in Port Huron.
Yep. We rode from Muskegon to Port Huron, and a friend and I did. And that's actually the first time we've ridden across Michigan, but we've done a lot of tours together and apart. So I've ridden actually from the Port Huron area up toward Alpena in the past. I've ridden from Lansing to Traverse City in the past. I've ridden parts of the UP, although that's a little scary because I do rely a little bit on cell phone service for navigation and emergencies. But honestly, this is a really great state to bike, despite the conditions of the roads. And there's a lot of good trails and a lot of good connectors out there.
Well, I'm certainly impressed, and I hope Port Huron left a good impression on you, Emily, and you come back here soon.
I will, actually. It was really fun. We ended at the beach, and I don't know what it's called, but it's right on Lake Huron. And it was really fun, and I suspect I will be back.
Yeah, it was just funny bumping into you at, I'll say the name, at Harry's Place. And it was just fun seeing you there a couple months back. I just hear my name. I don't exactly hear where it's coming from, but someone's calling my name and I look over and it's you. So that's a great neighborhood watering hole. It certainly is.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little state politics now. That's why we got you on in the first place. We had a primary election last week, Emily, and were you surprised by the results? Did things go as planned? I know there were some tight races, maybe not necessarily around here, but on the west side of the state for Congress and that sort of thing. What races were you following closely?
Yeah, I was looking at a couple of congressional districts, and I don't think there were any big surprises in the results. There were some surprises in the process. You know, obviously there were some races that were closer than people were expecting. You know, in terms of huge upsets on the congressional level, we didn't really see that. And one thing that did go, maybe not as planned, but as warned, was that election results were delayed. We did see that the huge influx in absentee ballots really did leave clerks in a little bit of a bind. We really didn't get several key races that we were watching those results until the next day. Election night felt a little anticlimactic, to be honest. I had geared up and, you know, drank all my caffeine and got to the big time. And, you know, as of when it was clear at 3 or 4 a.m. that that the election results were not going to come in as anticipated. We weren't going to have, or I wasn't going to be able to report on the races I was watching that night, you know, kind of pulled the plug and realized that it was going to be a Wednesday type of story.
Yeah, we were here until 1 a.m. on election, the morning following election day. We were here until 1 a.m. covering that 10th congressional district race. By then, we had the results of most of our local elections with local municipalities as well as like state rep and some of those millage askings. But that 10th congressional district one, It took until the following morning. I want to say it wasn't until about 7:15 when we got the final results out of Macomb County that indeed put Lisa McClain as the top vote getter there. It was very close up until then. Were you watching that one?
Yeah, you know, as an open seat, I think that was one of the most interesting ones on the docket. So, yeah, I mean, and I guess, you know, maybe we would categorize that one as somewhat of a surprise, just because I know that, you know, Shane Hernandez had this legislative resume and support going in sort of from some powerful players. So, you know, that was, as you said, one of the ones that we didn't know the results of until later.
Yeah, we didn't know until the following morning. But the rest of the local ones, we did have some pretty solid results in on election night, not too much later than they normally would be during whatever a normal election would look like. I got to ask you, Emily, there's been talk about maybe changing the way that ballots are counted, maybe at least preparing these absentee ballots ahead of time, maybe not tabulating them, but at least maybe opening the envelope and getting them ready. Is there going to be anything from the legislature on that? I know some clerks have been asking for that ability.
Yeah, and I've got to say that the asks seem to have mostly not gained any traction in the legislature so far. I think that the legislature is pretty hesitant to open that up. But, you know, clerks across Michigan have pointed out, some of them, that, you know, this is the primary election, the general election could take even longer. And I think that at some point the legislature has to decide what they're comfortable with in terms of a results delay. And, you know, especially considering that the last presidential election, we had results pretty late and the margin was 10,700 votes. You know, it could take quite a while to figure out who won Michigan if it's that close again.
That's, very interesting. Emily Lawler is with M Live at the state capitol in Lansing, where she covers the House, the Senate, executive branch, along with a team of reporters there at the M Live Capitol Bureau. Emily, we had reports coming out a couple days ago about the Veep Stakes, and we learned of that flight that was taken by Governor Whitmer from Lansing to Delaware. She reportedly met with former Vice President Joe Biden. And your thoughts on this Veep stake? Is she still a serious contender to be his running mate?
I mean, I think that what you just mentioned is a sign that she is. You know, the nominee is expected to announce a vice presidential choice, I would say probably within the next week. I think it's the 17th that the DNC convention, as it is, which is mostly virtual, I understand, is planned for. And he will likely have one by then. So I think this is sort of when the heat's on. And it does appear that Gretchen Whitmer is still in the running. And I think that, you know, to some that might come as a little bit of a surprise, because there's been so much focus on not only choosing a woman, but a woman of color. And I think that we're all watching, but I'm not sure really how high she is on the list. But it appears that at this point she's definitely still on it.
I was almost 100% convinced here early on in the pandemic that she was the front runner and perhaps had already had discussions about being on that ticket with Biden. But then after all of the George Floyd and the protests as a result, and the calls for more diversity, and when that all came to light in early June, I think she got bumped down the list pretty far. And the only way I could see her now being named vice president, the nominee for vice president on the Democratic side, is if at the same time Joe Biden comes out and announces the most diverse cabinet on the Democratic side that there's ever been. And if I think that's the only way that he could still pull off naming Whitmer as his VP, if at the same time some of these other high-profile VP potentials are placed in very high cabinet positions.
Yeah, that would be pretty atypical, just because typically the cabinet you know, takes a little bit longer to vet. If he's vetting a whole cabinet at the same time he's trying to vet a vice president, that's a lot to take on right now. But, you know, credit where credit's due. You know, Gretchen Whitmer has been interested in diversity issues far before the George Floyd protests. She used her State of the State address this year in part to advocate for addressing racial disparities in healthcare outcomes, which is a wonky issue that, frankly, at the time, not many people were talking about. And now a lot of people are talking about it. If you see the move to declare racism a public health crisis kind of spreading through counties through Michigan and of course, at a statewide level, too. She's also assembled one of the most diverse cabinets, probably the most diverse cabinet that the state has ever seen. And, you know, that was a result of a lot of intentionality. And that was, again, way before the George Floyd protests. She started focusing on that right after she won the election in 2018. So, you know, I don't think that Gretchen Whitmer is a bad pick in terms of a diversity and inclusion overall ethos. But of course, you know, I think that the arguments that a woman of color is the candidate for the moment are hard to ignore.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking to Emily Lawler. She's a reporter for MLive based in Lansing. And this past week, talking about the governor, she came out and pretty much laid into not just the Senate Majority Leader, but also the President of the United States, and was talking about some of the actions or lack thereof regarding unemployment benefits, which expired last week. What did she have to say about that, Emily?
Yeah, I think the money quote was that they do nothing, which is talking about Trump's executive actions, which is, of course, not true. I think that one of the key parts of what Trump did enacted to do recently was extend a little bit of an unemployment boost. People have been getting an extra $600 a week. He made it an extra $400 a week. But there's a tricky part in there with states having to put up a quarter of that, so $100 of those $400. If you've been following Michigan's budget, and certainly the governor has, that's not looking great. We have a $3.2 billion deficit coming up in the next fiscal year, which starts in October. And then we also have a big budget hole this year that lawmakers filled mainly through using those federal funds that were already allocated. So, you know, those federal funds are sort of off the table in terms of using them to match for unemployment. And given the unemployment numbers in Michigan right now, I think it'd be really difficult for the state to meet that obligation, or at the very least, it's competing against a lot of different priorities and a very squeezed budget.
And real quick here, this budget issue that you talk about, obviously, the big news a few weeks back was that some of that federal money was going to be used to fill in that shortfall between last year's budget. What about this upcoming budget? How is that shaping up?
Great question. So they're supposed to they added an additional revenue estimating conference. You know, typically they have, I think, two a year. This year it'll be three because the revenue picture is so much more complicated than it has been in previous years. So waiting for the results of that, we'll definitely be taking a look at that. Right now they think it's roughly a $3-plus billion hole was the last estimate. But, you know, I mean, there's not an easy way. It turned out sort of that there was an easy way to come up with $3.2 billion or very close to that and swap out some programs and take into account some lapses in the current year budget. But, you know, now that federal funding is gone and there's not really an easy way to do it for the upcoming budget, even if the state dipped into its rainy day fund, you know, which it did a little bit to fill the current year budget, it wouldn't cover the hole we're looking at.
Well, maybe we'll see some more developments and some more talks on that later on this week. And maybe we might have a vice presidential nominee on the Democratic side later on this week as well. In fact, Emily, we could do two segments right now, but we're going to hold off and maybe get you back on Friday morning here on WPHM, if that sounds good to you.
This could very well be the last time we talk Veep Stakes, so we'll see on Friday.
All righty. So we'll check back in with Emily later this week. It's always great hearing from you. Emily Lawler with MLive in Lansing. Thanks for joining us this morning, and have a great rest of your day.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. And this is Caleb filling in for Paul on 1380 WPHM.